Well, it's almost Independence Day. How many people served? You served? Tom, you served? They let you in? No, I was playing. They let you in? All right. Who else? Randy? Mr. Randy, who else? Richard? Who else? Dean? Mr. Tactical. You know how to make your own napalms? Old Cy over there. That's good. Oh, man, it's... The title of my message today is Strong and Courageous. And sometimes we like to be strong in our own strength. It's like we have to sit there and fight every single battle ourselves, but the battle's God's. He does the fighting for us. He's given us the authority to keep the enemy under our foot, but he does it for us. We don't have to physically go out and do that. You don't have to go out and throw punch people. I know you want to do that, but you don't have to do that. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be courageous. In Joshua 1, it says this right here. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon. I said the background is jacking me up. Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east, in the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it, how? Day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua is now taking over from Moses, and we know this. He takes over from Moses, and they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and it takes only about 11 days to get there from Egypt to the promised land. But the reason why is because of their disobedience. Obedience is a key factor in our lives. We should understand that. Saul was king for 42 years, but really he was only anointed for two. 40 years he was doing something that was out of the will of God because it was all about him. See, we can be doing things all day long, all year long, all our lives, and if it's out of the will of God, we're in disobedience. And Samuel says to Saul, obedience is better than what? But there's no retirement in the Bible, Pastor Tim. There's no retirement in the Bible, but there is obedience. Because if you're not obedient to God, you're disobedient. And rebellion, is that a sin? Of what? Come on. So it's important for us to be submitted to God, be obedient to God. If he's not, I said he will correct you, bring you back on the right path, send those peoples across your path so that you can still continually be obedient. One place we should never desire to be is out of the will of God for our lives. One place. And sometimes it is really, really hard for people to kind of move on. Moses had led them in the wilderness, led them for 40 years of their life, and now here's Joshua getting ready to take them into the promised land, into Jericho. But the thing is, Moses ended up dying, but some of us end up keep living. How can we keep going forward with God if we're doing this? You know, if I just continue to keep walking, I'm going to bump into something or someone trip and fall. How can I lead if I'm constantly looking back? How can I lead my family if I'm constantly looking at, man, I used to be a ball. I told my wife the other day, I think, you know, I like that movie, The Rookie, with Dennis Quaid. Science teacher, trying out for the pros. I think I can make a comeback. Yeah, right. Those years are way behind me. I'm not trying to be Tim from 20 years ago. I play basketball right now. My mind is still at 20, and my body's like, okay, when are you going to move? Literally, 8-foot rim, and I'm thinking about jumping. Before, it was just a habit. It was just natural. Now I'm like, okay, do I really want to jack my knees up? Now how am I going to fall? Am I going to land on both feet? It's a process. Do I really want to run? I told my kids I can beat them in a race. I think I could downhill. But leave a mattress at the end of the hill. It's hard to keep moving forward when you're always looking back. God wants you to do it a new thing. A new thing in your life. Moses was 40 years in Egypt, 40 years working, 40 years serving God. He wants to do a new thing. What is that new thing? Create something. You have creativity on the inside of you. You don't even know. He wants to do a new thing in you. Some people are waiting for retirement. There is no retirement. There's only obedience. So if the Lord said, this is what I want you to do, I want you to start this business, making these cookies, and sell them to businesses right now. You make some good cookies or some pancakes. You can make some good pancakes. You put blueberries in it. You can put chocolate in it. You can put some people who put peanut butter on their pancakes. I will pray for y'all later on. No, it's fine. But God wants to do a new thing in your life. Because no matter what he says, our giftings and callings are irrevocable. And here's the thing, and sometimes the enemy will mess with your mind from time to time. He'll mess with your mind and say, you can't do that. Why? You're too old. You're too young. You're not qualified. Do I fight that sometimes? No. Why? Because it's not in my strength I'm doing it in. It's in his. Be strong. Be courageous. Everything, every place you set your foot at, every place. You know, ever since I was 3 years old, they were saying Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He is coming back. And we're getting closer and closer every single day. But you know, in Luke 19:13, it says this. So what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided them among 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I am gone. In other words, occupy till I come. Do business until I get back. He didn't say sit in your house because I'm retired. Now I got to sit in my house, stare at the wall, and just wait for Jesus to come. Do business. You got to continue to work. You got to continue to occupy. You got to continue to invest. Because he's coming. There's some people way back in the day, I was kind of going back and forth with my brother-in-law, because he was a Jehovah's Witness. And we were going back and forth, and I was getting all this material and just going at it. Years ago, I said, it was a waste of time. And but it was funny because I was killing them. Now, but the thing about it is that you see so many people way back in the day. They prophesied many times within that religion that Jesus is, you know, the world's going to end many a times, and oh no, it's going to be this time. oh no, it's going to be this time, that time passed. And every single time, people would end up selling all their stuff, buying material, buying books. You know, they sell the house, get in the van, move down by the river, and nothing. Did all that for nothing. Sitting there waiting. What does it say? Occupy till I come. Invest. You know, even when it comes to the parable of the talents, he says the master came to that wicked servant and he said, how come you didn't double up, man? I'm just paraphrasing. Well, master, I knew you were a hardworking man and I knew you would have reaped where you have not sown. So I decided to bury the money. And the master said, you wicked and lazy servant. You know I would have reaped where I have not sown. You could at least put it into the bank and it would have gained interest. You know, over time, a long period of time, you just putting your money in the bank just ain't going to do it. It won't double. Not with the small interest that they have. Invest. Throw your money forward. Invest. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, what if it collapses? What if the banks collapse? Then what are you going to do? Who are you dependent on? Where are we going to get gold? We got to get Bitcoin. There's going to be something. There's always going to be something. But if our trust and dependency is on God and what he's leading us to do, he might have you start something on the side that's going to help. He might have you create something that's going to be new. But either way, the gospel still needs to be preached. Projects still need to be done. Life still needs to be saved. There's family members in your lives that need to be saved. There's projects that you need to be done. There's places that you still need to go. Occupy till he comes. You continue to do what God has called you to do. Don't deviate from the word and you will be successful. Some people get upset when you're talking about being successful. No, we don't chase after things. We don't chase after them. The most successful thing that you can have is a relationship with Jesus. Start there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things will be added to you. You don't have to chase the things. You don't have to go around manipulating people in order to get those things. Those things are, when you're chasing Jesus, when you're seeking him first, when you're spending time with him, those things will be added unto you. That is a promise. It will be added. You know, I have the privilege, I went to our FCF Vanguard event that they had last week, and I stayed all the way through. That's why I stayed for Saturday night. I was going to leave right after lunch and stayed and listened to Happy Caldwell, and he was good. And then I was getting ready to come back. I was like, you know, I really don't want to drive back home. I really don't want to. I believe that the Lord is leading me to stay here. So I texted Trey, and he filled in for me on short notice, which I was grateful for. And I stayed and went to Guts Church. Have y'all ever been to Guts Church? You ever heard of Guts Church? Pastor's pretty bold. Bill Shear, I got to meet him. Cookie and Fred Brothers introduced me to him afterwards and stuff like that. And you know what? His services are shorter than ours. Because he gets up there and preaches. They do worship. They preach. And once he's done, he's done. None of that fluff. None of all the other stuff. When he's done, he's done. The Holy Spirit can speak through people. Doesn't matter. When he's done, he's done. And then they just get ready. Everybody fellowshipping. Getting ready for the next service. Let's get after it. I said, man, that's good. And they have a youth center, a separate building. Then they got a children's center, a separate building. And then on one of the youth center things, it says in some big white letters, big bold letters, black background, help people win. Pretty self-explanatory there. He calls himself a competitor. He's really competitive. I should have corrected him on that. No. People who are competitive want to be the only one at the top. People who dominate help people win. Jesus helped people win. Pharisees, competitive. Dominate. Amen? He can have that. That's, you know, it's my little two cents. He might tell me to keep the chains. That's all right. That's all right. To know God is eternal life. To know him, eternal life. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We seek God's way of doing things, how to handle pressure and all the problems that may come in our life. The word made flesh is our focus. Jesus is our focus. And sometimes it's a lot, very difficult to go through life when you got all these distractions. Your phone could be a distraction. Your TV could be a distraction. People can be a distraction. The enemy is definitely a distraction. But it's distracting you from God, your personal time. Put up the next scripture, please. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Paul had this thorn in his flesh. And most people think that thorn was, it was God. God gave him this thorn in the flesh. And it was, no. God didn't give Paul this thorn. Paul got this thorn in the flesh because of the abundance of revelation. Where do you get the revelation from? From God. So God is going to punish Paul for giving him an abundance of revelation? That doesn't make much sense. A thorn in the flesh was sent by Satan to buffet him as a messenger of Satan, sent to just nag, act like a menace, pester as I don't know what. It was sent to just kind of stir up a lot of drama everywhere he went. That is a messenger of Satan. And he begged God. He three times he says, take this thorn from my flesh. And God says right here, Jesus says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in what? Weakness. So we can't try, we can't keep trying to be strong in our own strength. We can't keep trying to do all this stuff and stirring up drama in every which way within our own strength. He says, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. God's power works best when we realize that we can't do it in our own power. When we realize that, hey, I don't have to figure everything out. I'm giving it to him. Sometimes we do try to figure everything out with our mind, with our intellect and everything, and it's, we just jack it up sometimes. We prolong things. As soon as we can get to the place to where we yield to him and say, God, all right, I'm going your way. Whatever it is you want me to do, wherever it is you want me to step, I'm going to step. Wherever it is you want me to go, I'm going to go. Who do I need to walk in love with? Everyone, okay. Get that. Get your love walk right. I'm not always perfect in that. Because y'all know what I want to do. I'm glad that still gets laughs. Paul was being beaten down. The man was stoned to death. And they left him for dead. You know, when religious people stone you, they pretty much think you're gone. Then he got up, went to the next city, and started preaching. Be strong. Be courageous. The word be means to have identity with. In your weakness, this is when God's strong. You can't do it in your own power. I can't do it in my own power. You can't be your own God. Okay? We can't be our own God. Because instead of being who God has called you to be, strong and courageous, we end up being fake and conceited, overbloated, puffed up. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this. Sorry. That was the next scripture. Sorry. Okay. So if you truly want to win, you have to stop being your own God. Let every man be true Let God be true and every man be a liar. We got to stop trying to do everything in our own power. But Pastor Tim, you don't know what they said about me. You don't know what they said about me. They said some jacked up stuff. Hey, been there, done that. They said some jacked up. That's okay. You trying to retaliate is because your ego was bruised. But no one can say anything negative about me. Here's the thing. When you're your own God, that's not a blasphemous statement when somebody says something about you. We're not above what Jesus did. They said stuff about Jesus, and he was God. We're not exempt from people talking about us. We're not exempt from people doing stuff to us. Well, they're just trying to get revenge on me. They're trying to get revenge. Well, just think about this. If they're trying to get revenge, is there something you've done? Because in order for somebody to get revenge, you had to have done something yourself. And if you've done something, ask for forgiveness. That's not that hard. Own up. Just ask for forgiveness. Man, if I hurt you, if I jacked it up, if I stepped over my boundary, you know, the Bible does say, forgive those who trespass against you. But you know, if people are walking in love, you would never trespass against them. Accountability is a two-way street. Love is a two-way street. Forgiveness is a two-way street. Everything we do is a two-way street. When you're talking about accountability, accountability is men or women getting together. They're sharing what God has been taking them through, what they've been doing, what have you. And then everybody's kind of giving their feedback. Because we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of whose testimony? Somebody else's? About you? Ours. So it's got to come out of our mouth. Somebody trying to hold you accountable over what somebody else had said, it's not accountability. That's control. Anybody like math in here? Really good at math? Who's good at math? Erica, you're good at math. I was going to have some math questions and stuff like that in every which way, but I probably would have just jacked up the equation. But imagine if I gave you a test to do, and you start filling it out, what have you. And then I purposely give Trenton the answer sheet, just the answers. You do all the work, you write the answers down, he just has the answers, and now he has to grade your test. And he's just going through it. Wrong, wrong, this doesn't match, wrong, wrong. I mean, you just, all 28 questions, you missed them all. And you're pretty good at math. You're going to question that, right? Wait. Well, this is the answer sheet. But see, here's the thing. What Trenton don't know is I gave him the wrong answer sheet. And if people, so if he gets the right answer sheet, he goes back and be like, okay, no, that's right. You get the right equation. You get everything done right. When people are trying to hold you accountable based upon what somebody else had said, you realize that they can mess up the answer sheet a little bit. And then you start correcting based upon what they said, and when it doesn't even apply, I get that a lot. And guess what? Just kind of got to roll with it. But one of my principles in life is this. I will never, ever submit to a false narrative about myself. Never. If what they say about you is true, repent, forgive, move on. If what they said was a lie, forgive and move on. Either way, you got to keep moving forward. Some people aren't going to like it. We got to keep moving forward. Isaiah 49:25 says this, for I will fight those who fight you. I will fight those who fight you. Trust him that he will do what he's promised to do. Trust him when he says that he will fight for you. Jesus was the best demonstration that we could possibly have when it came to serving and giving. Trust him. Some people think that giving is toxic. Giving is not toxic. That's not a toxic thing. When we give, Scripture says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. He doesn't ever stop giving. He gave gifts to the church. God is a giver. Giving is a beautiful thing. When you're giving and helping people, you're helping the community. You know, Ephesians 6:8 says this. You don't have that on the scripture. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. So the more you give and you don't get anything in return, because you know the laws of sowing and reaping, they don't have what you need. Somebody else does. You give. You continue to give. That's not a toxic thing. Taking and taking and taking is a toxic thing. I just want to get all that I can for myself. It's all about me. See, that's somebody out of the will of God. He's created you to be a giver. He created you to give so that you can be a blessing to other people. You know, God even wants you to give to your enemies. If your enemy is thirsty, do what? Give him something to drink. If he is hungry, do what? Tie him in a corner, throw a pork chop at him. That was one of those ugly jokes. Your mama's so ugly, we tied her in a corner and threw a pork chop at her. You know, someone would ask my dad years ago, why do you help so many people? And he said, if I was ever in that condition, I would want somebody to help me out. He would take drug addicts, alcoholics, take them to get their Social Security, because they didn't have it. I mean, they were just almost homeless. Take them to get their Social Security, get their identification, all that stuff, so they can get to work. Fill out the W-2s, all that, showed them how to do it, showed them how to do some banking and stuff, and taught them a trade. Teach them a trade. Teach them how to frame. Brandon kind of alluded to that. If you have a teach them. And he did all that. Why? Because he was a giver. Well, how much money did he have in his account? He stored up treasures for himself in where moth and rust does not destroy. You can't take all that money you have with you. You can't. They don't have Bitcoin in heaven. They don't have stocks in heaven. But they do have rewards. That's why being a giver is a lifestyle. But it takes courage to be able to let go of that and say, here you go, Richard. I want to give this to you. I don't have any money on me. So just pretend it's $1 million. There you go. By faith. See, it's not about teaching people to be dependent upon us, but upon God. If we're not leading them to Christ, for them to be dependent upon, I said, then we're trying to make ourselves out to be God. And sometimes parents can do this. They could be very, very controlling. I have four kids, and when you get them on a bike, you got one, and they take off the training wheels, and now you got to balance them. You got one hand on the handlebars, and you got the other on the back of the seat, and then you're kind of running with them, and then you let go. And if you're like some other people, you're nuts. Boom, crash. But see, if you're that controlling parent, I mean, as they get older, you're still behind that wheel trying to control. But now they're adults and they drive a car and you're hanging onto the bumper for dear life. Like, hey, let go and let them grow up. They're going to learn to make their own mistakes. Pray for them. My sons, I mean, we raised them up. But he's the spiritual leader for his home. I'm not. Ethan will be for his house. Josiah will be. No. She doesn't like me talking, but I'm going to say this was funny. She goes, I'm going to marry somebody who doesn't get along with their family so I can come back here and spend all my time with my family. I said, that'll work. I like that. But it takes courage and it takes God's strength to be able to let go. Because sometimes I understand it could be a little bit scary. But when you do, you're going to see God's blessing and in his hand working in their lives rather than it's just yours. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. In your weakness, this is when he's strong. If you learn to let go, God will be strong because he never fails us. You send prayers. You send hugs, kisses. You send scriptures. But sometimes you've got to learn to let go. That takes courage. Got to allow him to be your Savior. Your Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, you are such a good, good Father. And Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross, dying for us, being raised to life, being buried and raised to life for us, Lord. And we just thank you for everything. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.